You know, if you give almost anyone 50 to 100 bucks to buy a bottle of wine, it probably won't be too hard for them to pick a winner. But if you give somebody $5 to $10 to buy a decent bottle of wine, now that's Steve's $10 wine challenge. Well, in honor of summer, welcome to Steve's $10 wine challenge Pinot Grigio. And this is something new for us. Because we're sort of theming a show after a grape varietal, and we're going to do the Pinot Gris because we've been kind of red wine heavy, and this Pinot Gris is a white wine, and it's summer, and it's light, and it's fruity, and I'm really enjoying this stuff, even though I'm generally a red wine drinker. And so I did a little research on this Pinot Gris stuff. So first, about the genealogy of the Pinot Gris. The Pinot Gris is the cousin in a genetic mutation of the Pinot Noir grape. And apparently Pinot Noir grapes mutate more readily than most other grape varieties. Pinot Blanc is another wine mutant offspring of Pinot Noir. Second, the name. Pinot Gris is a French name, but the Italians call this Pinot Grigio. So you can find it by either name, but it's the same grape. Same stuff, French name, Italian name. Bear in mind that that the meaning of the name is kind of interesting as well. The word Pinot means pine cone and refers to the small pine cone-like clusters on which these grapes grow. And gris is French for gray and refers to the color of the ripe grape, although the color can vary from region to region, from blue-gray to sort of a pinkish copper color. Third, where it grows. Apparently, the main growing regions for decent Pinot Gris are in Italy, where it's grown in the greatest abundance and called Pinot Grigio, as I said, and in Germany, where it tends to be sweeter and comes in several regional types like Rulander and Graubengrunder. And then, of course, the Alsace region of France, where it is known as Tokay d'Alsace, or Tokay d'Alsace. And interestingly enough, the other popular growing region for Pinot Gris is in the state of Oregon here in the United States. They grow a substantial amount of it in California as well, but it's generally not as good as Oregon's. According to David Lett, owner of the Irie Vineyards, who first brought cuttings of Pinot Noir to the Willamette Valley of Oregon from the UC Davis campus in 1966, California is too hot for the Pinot Gris grape, whereas Western Oregon, with its cool, temperate climate, is ideal. And while there are surely Californians who would take issue with Mr. Lett's claim, it is generally agreed that Pinot Gris thrives best in cool climates. Finally, let's take a look at aging it. Typically, Pinot Gris is drunk young, like Beaujolais, within 8 months to a few years. It's not a wine you tend to age in a cellar. It's usually aged in oak. In terms of its taste, in general, it's considered to be a floral wine, usually fairly dry with citrus tanginess. When it's stored in oak, there are vanilla and almond tones. Beyond this, the tastes vary by style, and the styles are distinguished by the major growing regions I previously mentioned. Pinot Grigio or Italian style, light-bodied, light in color, crisp and acidic, with lemon tones, and often a light proletarian sipping wine, the kind of thing you just have as a table wine with dinner. Second, Oregon style, medium-bodied, yellow to copper-pink color, crisp, full, lively flavors with aromas of pear, apple, and or melon. And third, Alsace style, medium to full body, rich, somewhat floral, viscous, almost oily in texture, less fruity than the Oregon version, but worthy of aging, whereas Oregon style is drunk when it is young. And then finally, there's a German style. The German style, medium to full-bodied, yet fairly sweet, but well-balanced with good acidity. Okay, so now that we've learned a bit about the Pinot Gris grape, let's try some of this stuff. The first wine we're going to sample is from Erath Vineyards, a Pinot Gris. The year is 2005, and since you drink this stuff fresh, that means it's from last year, which means it's pretty fresh, from the Willamette Valley of Oregon. The price was $9.99 on sale, and due to its on-sale status, it comes a penny beneath the bar for qualifying for Steve's $10 Wine Challenge. And so on to the wine. First, let me point out that this wine comes with a screw cap. No, scratch that. First, let me say that this wine is delicious. Hell, I've already given it away. Okay, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. The screw cap thing first. Viva la screw cap revolution. Second, this wine has a really nice, sweet, flowery, melon-like smell. It smells like springtime. And the taste? Okay, here it is. Holy crap, it's absolutely delicious. I thought from the smell that it would be too sweet for my taste, but really it's not. It's actually closer to the dry side, yet very fruity. The flavor is slightly tangy, with almost a citrusy edge, and I also taste ripe pears and cantaloupe melon. There's definite vanilla flavor in the background, and it almost has this almost nutty kind of taste. It reminds me of almonds. This wine is a poster child from the style, at least from the research we just read. When it opens up, it's got this really sort of flavorful quality as it warms slightly. I always find that extremely cold white wine tastes like nothing, sort of the way ice-cold lager beer tastes like nothing. And while that's a good thing for cheap domestic beer, it's bad for a really nice white wine. Man, I'm really impressed with this wine. It's wonderful. And for a wine under $10, it's almost too good to be true. It's got my whole pie hole dancing with delight. This is one of those on-sale wines that wants you to seduce you over to the $10 plus side and makes a pretty compelling case for it, I might add. Geez, why the hell would anyone drink Chardonnay when there's stuff like this available? So let's take a look at the lie on the back of the bottle, shall we? They write, "Our Oregon Pinot Gris, 79% Willamette Valley and 21% Umpqua Valley, is carefully blended each year to develop a crisp, lively, dry white wine that pairs wonderfully with a wide range of foods." And I drank it Oregon style with grilled salmon, and I gotta say, it paired very nicely. Thank you very much. Okay, on to our second Pinot Gris of the show. This is from Clay Station Vineyards. Again, Pinot Gris. This is a 2004, which is 2 years old, and you drink this stuff fresh, so, you know, this is a little older than the last one. And it's from California, and the price was $8.99, so, you know, well within the range. Not on sale, but regularly just $8.99. Now, this wine has a subtle flavor of tart, sour, underripe, green little apples. The kind you ate from your neighbor's tree when you were a kid and ended up with a stomach ache. This isn't particularly a flavor I like to seek out in my adult life. Apart from that, there's this slight peach pear apricot flavor that I've learned to expect from this varietal. However, these flavors are fairly subtle. Overall, this wine is sweet and flavorless, and it tastes more like a cheap sweet Chardonnay than Pinot Gris. It's at least Pinot Gris tasting Pinot Gris I've sampled yet. I don't really care for it. It's perfectly drinkable. It doesn't have any real unpleasant flavors. It's just that I've come to expect more from a Pinot Gris, and at $8.99, I think I deserve it. So far, the California Pinot Gris and the Pinot Grigio are not standing up to the similarly priced Pinot Gris from Oregon, in my opinion. And note again that this is a 2004, and with the exception of some of the high-quality stuff from Alsace-France, Pinot Gris is supposed to be drunk fresh, so maybe this was good last year. Let's look at the lie on the back of the bottle, shall we? So, Pinot Gris, and they have it phonetically spelled for you here. Pinot Gris. In case you were completely ignorant of French phonetics and you might be inclined to call it Pinot Gris, which would come off pretty poorly. You'd look like a totally ignorant redneck in a restaurant setting, so that's pretty helpful that they tell you how to pronounce it. Also, as Pinot Grigio, although they don't offer a phonetics for Italian, so I assume Pinot Grigio is cool. It's a lively, well-balanced wine that pairs well with many foods, and have you noticed, by the way, they keep playing up this food thing. The Pinot Gris is supposed to be very food-friendly, including seafood, poultry, salad, and pasta. Crispy green apple, pear, and citrus notes are layered with a subtle mineral character for a refreshing finish. Mineral finish? Now, that sounds nasty. It's like I'll have zinc and Epsom salt tones or something, like drinking your Aunt Martha's foot-soaking broth out of a galvanized tub. But hey, I'm not the marketing communications genius here. I just drink the stuff.